Okay, the Gemara right now we're up to is Lama Mabiz. The Gemara had finished talking about about the question that we had, whether or not the mistake that they made was a mistake of saying the wrong shear or mistake of saying no shear. Again, the Levium, we said it before, and that when Levium had a shibush, had a mistake, so they stopped accepting witnesses to come in the afternoon time. So the Gemara brings down and says, well, it was a mistake. We had a machlokas. Was it a mistake that they said no shear at all? Or mistake that they said the wrong shear? The Gemara now is going to go back and try to bring an argument in one of the directions. Again, Masiv, about 12 lines from the bottom of the page, at that Lamanum base. Masiv of Acha Bar Huna, Tamach of Rosh Hashanah, Shachris Karav Kil Chasov. The Tamach Rosh Hashanah in the morning time, the Korban Tamid, it was brought as it is normally brought. The Musaf Ma'u Omer. But that's mean they brought and they said the normal, whatever that day's tefillah was, they would say that shir shal yom. Whatever it was, shachar's morning, they would say that shir shal yom. What would they say? Musaf Rosh Hashanah time. I mean, again, Monday, so we'll see later on today that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, each day of the week had its own special shira, you would say, for that day of the week. We say that also, yom yom rishon v'shavah shabuah yu ha'levim ha'omrim b'meisim mikdash. So we'll see very soon what those are and why those on those days. But the morning time of the shachar's, of the Rosh Hashanah, they would say whatever day that was normally. What about Musaf? Musaf Ma'al Omer, what do they say Musaf? They would say, Harninu Lelukim Uzeinu Ariu Lelukei Yaakov, which again is a description. Again, Harninu means like to sing like Rina, to sing to Hashem with great joy. That was the Shira, they would say, again, Harninu Lelukim Uzeinu. We sing to Hashem our oz, which is strength. Ariel Elokei Yaakov, we do a trua. We do a trua to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what they would say in Musaf because it represents this idea of trua. And Hariyu is a lashon of trua. So they want to talk about the Rosh Hashanah time of the trua. Mincha Ma'om, what does it say Mincha time? Kol Hashem Yachil Midbar, which means the voice of Hashem causes the Midbar to shake, to be terrified. So that's why they say Mincha Rosh Hashanah time. Again, the idea of Kadosh Baruch Hu is judging the world. And the world is shaking in that judgment. Was Manch Rosh Hashanah Lios B'Chamish B'Shabbos? Rosh Hashanah would fall out on Thursday. What do they do? Because this, by the way, this happens to be the same Hayom Yom of Yom Chamishi. So now, what would you do if you were Rosh Hashanah was on Thursday? Then what you said in the morning, same thing was it was said in the afternoon in the time of in Musaf time. So now, what do you do if it fell on Yom Chamishi on Thursday? Because the Shira on Thursday is what we just described, that you sing out to Hashem excitedly to the God of our strength. The Gemara says, what do you do? You wouldn't say it again in Shacharis, meaning you wouldn't say that morning of Shacharis. If that day was Rosh Hashanah time and that day was Thursday, Rosh Hashanah time as well, then you wouldn't say the Shir Shayom on Thursday that morning. Because otherwise, you would be saying the same thing again later on in the afternoon for Musaf time. Ella Ma'al Omer, what do you say instead? I see me save El Shechmo, which means I have taken you out of the burden of the captivity. I've taken you out of it. You said from the suffering of your burden. So that's what Gemara suggests. You say in the morning instead. You change to that morning tefillah instead of the normal tefillah we say in Yom Chamishi. Now, it happens to be, if you look inside and you see you have a quote of a pasuk, it happens to be the same parak of Tehillim, just a different part of Tehillim. So they would only say part of the Tehillim in the morning, and they would say the entire Tehillim in the Korban Musaf. So that's what they would do. If it fell on the same day as their normal Shir Shal Yom, they would have a truncated, a shortened version of the morning, and they would say the entire thing in Musaf time of Rosh Hashanah time. Bimbo Eidim Acher Tamit Shachar. What would happen, though, if the Eidim came after the Korban Tamid was already offered, which means that no one knew Rosh Hashanah yet, they weren't sure, and therefore they said the normal Yom Chamishi Shir Shal Yom, and then they came back and they realized by most of the time it was Rosh Hashanah time. Yimbao Eidim Achar Tamid Shal Shachar, Omer Harninu, they would say the same thing a second time, Aval Pisha Chos V'Kofel Teperek, even though it would require them now to repeat the same thing two separate times. That's the quote of the Brisa. Now, how does that play a role to our discussion, whether the Levim would say nothing or say they would say the mistaken Shir Shal Yom? How does that tell us anything? It says the Gemara as follows. If you want to say that whenever they weren't sure, they would say the Shira of that day, but they wouldn't stop and say nothing, that's why we were worried. That's why we stated, now you're going to say it and repeat it, because they would say it in the morning. Meaning, again, if they weren't sure if that day was going to be a chag or not. So we want to know, what do? Do you say nothing, or do you say the original day's Shira? So here we prove it's the original day's Shira. How do we know? Because it says, in Rosh Hashanah time, they would repeat it. It would be repeated, which means that before it became Rosh Hashanah time, they were saying the Shira Shel Chol, not knowing what was going to happen later on that same day. That sounds like a good argument. That's why it says they would say it and repeat it. But Eli Amart, Lomer Klal, you want to tell me that the custom was, in the day they weren't sure whether or not it's going to be Rosh Hashanah or not, they wouldn't say anything at all. My Omer Vekofla, what do you mean they would repeat it? They would say it and repeat it. Again, when he says they would say it and repeat it, it means they would repeat what they said in the morning. Meaning the morning time, they would be saying something because they weren't sure whether or not it was going to be a day of Rosh Hashanah or not. They would say the normal day's routine. That's a support for the Manda Amr that says that they would recite the single, the whole Shir Shal Yom, and they wouldn't stop and leave it out. That sounds like a pretty solid support, and it goes against the opinion that they would say nothing. Gemara says, no. Shani Hasam, the Shira, the Yomahi. No, it's different over there, because there, it's not out of bounds. It's not like the wrong Shira to say if you would say that day Shira. Again, if they weren't sure what day was, if it was going to be a Chag or not, so normally maybe they would skip that day. But since this Thursday, not this Thursday, but since Thursday, Shir Shal Yom is appropriate for Hashanah anyways, so they would say that one. It's not considered an inappropriate Shir Shal Yom with the Levim. It was actually a very appropriate Shir Shal Yom with the Levim if it would be on a Thursday. Because again, on a Thursday is the time when they would say that Shira anyways. And therefore, it's very logical that they would say only that day's Shira if they didn't know if it was in Hashanah or not. But they wouldn't stop say any other Yom Shal Chol on any other day where they weren't sure whether there was going to be a Chag or not. So one more time, the Gemara is trying to prove over here whether or not they would say the Shir Shal Yom of that day if they weren't sure, or they would say nothing. The Gemara sounds like over here it's proving that they would say the Shir Shal Yom because they would say it twice. They'd say it one time in the morning, they repeat later on in the afternoon if they found to be Shoshanah. And the Gemara concludes, no, it's not a good proof. Why not? Because it happens to be the Shir Shal Yom of Thursday, when it fell on Thursday, was very shach to Rosh Hashanah time. And therefore, they would say it that day is because why not say it? If it's not Chag, then it's Yom Chamishi and it's appropriate. And if it was Rosh Hashanah time, so it's still appropriate, still the right Shira for that day, but otherwise, maybe they would say nothing at all. Okay, the Gemara now is going to introduce all these Shir Shal Yoms that they would say, which you're familiar with also, but you're going to see very interesting reasons as to why they would say these certain Shiras. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Mishu, Rabbi Akiva. Rishon, Mahayu, Omerim, what do they say on Yom Rishon? Lashem Ha'aretz Umlala. That's what we say today on Yom Rishon Shal Shabbos. So what's the reason why? Al Shem, which means again, to Hashem is the land and all that fills it. Why? Al Shem Shekana V'hikna V'shalim V'olamon. We say that because on that day, which is the first day when Hashem created the world, and Yom Rishon, Sunday, Yom Rishon Shabbos, first day of creation, Hashem acquired the world, and He gave over the world, and He ruled over the world, which means that Hashem created the world from nothing, and therefore He made it, and He was ready to give it over, and to become the Melech over in Am, over mankind. And therefore, Hashem is the land and all that fills it. But Sheni Ma Omer, what do they say on Yom Sheni B'Shabbos, Monday? Which means, great is Hashem, and very praiseworthy. Why was that the right thing to say on Monday in Yom Sheni? Hashem in that day separated things in the world. He split things up in the world, and He ruled over them. What does it mean, Chilik Ma'asav? So Rashi explains, He separated between the different firmaments of the sky. He was Mavdil Rakia. He put a firmament in the sky, separating the heavens, meaning the higher sphere of the heavens, from the lower sphere of the heavens and the earth below. And Hashem, for that reason, Hashem is Mulal Ma'od. He's very, very praised above in his dwelling place in Shemayim. Okay. But Shlishimai Omer, what do they say on Shishay Omer? What do they say on Tuesday? Lokim Nitzav Adaskel. Hashem is standing among the congregation of God. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, Al Shem Shegila Eretz B'chaf Maso, Behechin Tevo La Dasom. He said, that is the right thing to say. Hashem is standing again among the great, again, the great congregation of God, because that was the day that Hashem showed his greatness. Because he was Megala Eretz. He made the earth appear. Meaning, again, up until that point in time, it was the water covered the ground. Hashem now makes the ground, the land revealed, which allows, again, there to be an assembly. It allows everyone to get together. A congregation can now exist because there's land. And Hashem was Mechin Tevel Adasa. Hashem prepared the land, the world, to now have people on it by having a ground that was revealed. You say on the fourth day, which means Wednesday, we call that. Kill Nekamos Hashem. That Hashem is the God of vengeance, of Nekama. Why was that Yom Revi'i? Hashem Shebara Chama Ulevana. Because that was the day Hashem created the sun and the moon and also the stars. And the future Hashem is going to take Nekama. He's going to take vengeance upon those who serve the Avodah Zarah of Hashem's Hashem's creation. So that was why he said that day, Hashem is the Kel Nekamos Hashem. Hashem is the God of vengeance for those who serve what was created on the fourth day of creation. Again, we had this quote earlier. That's what we said before, is on Thursdays is the statement of Hashem singing, that we sing joyfully to Hashem, our God of might. Hashem created birds and fish so we can praise him. What does it mean we can praise him? Rashi points out of here, we praise him when you see how many birds there are. If you look in, you know, you go to a you go to a Discovery Channel and you watch a film on birds, you see how many unbelievable birds there are in the world. As you see so many different species, you're going to be more awed by each and every one of them, and that's going to cause you to sing out to Hashem praises. It's actually, there's so many, even it doesn't talk about fish at all in the Rashi, but if you look at, again, if you go online and look for pictures of the deep sea fish, it's the most unbelievable, frightful creatures that exist out there. It's mamish terrifying. Later on, I recommend you do it so you can understand just how awesome and unbelievable it is, the creation of that God in the world. So, yeah, what's that?
You gotta watch
Planet Earth. Has a hot take about birds.
You gotta talk about birds.
They're just crazy. They're dinosaurs. They're birds are insane.
And birds are insane. See, you heard it here first.
Dinosaurs.
And the ocean's so big. Like we know more about the moon than we know about.
Ariel loves the ocean.
I always thought about Ariel as a lover of marine life. And over here, my thoughts are confirmed.
You can't imagine. Ariel,
tell the chevra how much of the ocean we've discovered.
Like barely any. Like not even close. Not even. There are so many pieces.
You should go online. Crazy. Look at pictures. Look at pictures of deep sea fish. You're going to be awed by what you see. We don't even have a fraction of the Ariel's squids. Okay. We don't even have a fraction of understanding what exactly exists down below. So that's a very, again, a powerful idea that when you see these things, Hashem created the fish and the birds, it causes us to sing out in joy to Hashem and his greatness. I'll say Shabbar again. Ofos v'dagim l'shabeach l'shmo. B'shishi ha'yomrim. What does Hashem say? What do we say to Hashem on Yom Shishi? Hashem alach ge'us lavesh. Hashem is our king, and he's clothed with great ge'ut, with great ga'ah, with great pride. Why? Hashem shigamer malachto u'malach alein. Hashem finishes the job. Again, Yom Shishi was the last day of creation. And he's now able to properly rule and be recognized as the ruler upon them. Hashem is now able to wear his royal garb, so to speak, over these creations in the world, which is us and everything else. Bashri Hayomer, what did they say on the seventh day, which is Shabbos? Is Rosh Hashanah Shabbos? Why? Liyom Shekulo Shabbos, referring to the day that is Kulo Shabbos. Now, what does that mean exactly? So over here, Rashi explains what it means is that in the future, the world will be destroyed. And that will be after six millennia, after 6,000 years, the world's going to be destroyed. So we see in the 7,000th year, starting after 6,000 years, where the world's going to be destroyed. And this is referring to over here, the day that the Kulo Shabbos, the day that no longer does the world function as we have known it to be. Now, what's interesting over here is that the Gemara, according to this opinion of Rabbi Akiva, that we're quoting, of Rabbi Yehuda, named Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara kind of takes a little bit of a shift. The first 6 days of Mitzvah Shel Yom, wherever they are, we're all about different parts of creation. The seventh one, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Akiva, nothing to do with creation at all. It has to do with actually the end of days. So it says, Amar Nechemiah, Ma ro chacham l'chalik b'na prakim alalu. Why did the chacham see fit to distinguish, differentiate between these prakim? Again, the first 6 days of we discussed, the shir shayom of each day of the Levim was relating to the creation of the world. And all of a sudden comes day seven, and we move off of creation, and we start talking about the end of days. So the Gemara of here, that doesn't make any sense, Reb Nechemiah. Rather, All the days are about creation. And he goes through the whole list again. The first six are all the same. So we'll run through this part ourselves right now. They're all the same. Rishon shekana v'ikna v'shalat b'olamo v'sheini shechileg ma'asav u'malach layem v'shlishi shegila eretz v'chachmaso v'yichin tevel la'adaso v'arvi shebara chama v'levona v'asi l'parah me'avdehen v'chamishi shebara ofos v'dagim v'shabeach l'shmo v'shishi shegamar malachtu u'malach layem. Those are all things we saw already. And Rabbi Nechemiah agrees that all six of those things, that each day of creation is corresponding to one of these yoms, one of these days. And therefore, that's what it represented, as we had said earlier. But the seventh day was different. Bashvi al shem shabbos. Why is the seventh day called Bismashir Shalom Shabbos? Not referring to the day at the end of days, where the seventh millennia, this after 6,000 years, we're now going to have a day of complete recognition of the again, a new reality in our lifetime, because that's not new creation. Rather, it refers to Hashem actually resting from creating the world. We call that Shabbos, the seventh day Hashem rested. That's why we say Mishmashil Yom HaShabbos. And this machlokes that they're having over here, again, Rabbi Akiva, being quoted by Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Nechemiah, is based on Kmifli Birdi Rav Katina. It's based upon they're arguing with Rav Katina's statement. What did Rav Katina say? Dam Rav Katina, Shisa Alfei Shana Havi Alma, V'chad Charuf, the world will be for 6,000 years, Shisa Alfei, and then 1,000 years it will be in a state of destruction. So the seventh day, like referred to the 7,000th year, will be in a state of destruction. Hashem will be standing alone on that day. That day refers not to the day, but to that millennia. That 1,000-year period, Hashem is alone, meaning the world is not functioning as we knew it to be. It's a whole different reality, you know, in the end of days. That's what we're really describing. Now, that's the opinion of, again, Rav Katina. However, Abai says, and Rabbi Trei Charuf, it's not going to be 1,000 years, but rather 2,000 years is going to be in a state of destruction, of chaos. And Amar, Yechayenu Miyomayim, Hashem will bring us back from 2 days worth. Now, 2 days over here, everything is in thousands. So 2,000 years worth. Therefore, it would make no sense for us to say, Mishmar Shalom HaShabbos, it's talking about the end of days, if it wasn't a thousand, if it wasn't one unit, it was 2 units of time. And therefore, based upon whether we understand the world to be destroyed or in that state of destruction for only 1,000 years or 2,000 years would depend on whether we would think that Mishmar Shalom HaShabbos would be a fitting to say on the seventh day, or if it's 2,000 years, it would make sense more to be, it wouldn't be make sense to be 2,000 years, 1 day's worth representing 2,000 years. Rather, 1 day represents 1,000 years, maybe. And therefore, according to Katina, Rabbi Akiva said it makes sense that the last Yom HaShabbos was referring to that final 1,000 years, or that 1,000 years, I say. And according to the people who argue on that, which is Rabbi Nechemiah and Abaye, it wouldn't make sense for that to be the seventh day, because it's 2,000 years worth of time, and therefore better to be actual Shabbos itself. Run on. What do you got?
Does that mean 6,000 and then plus 1,000, 2,000? Or like...
Yeah, 6,000 are going to be what we know it to be. Like right now, we're living in 5, 7, 8, 0, 8, 1 coming up, right? So, yeah, in about 219 years from now, we're talking about, we don't know what's going to happen. We're expecting... some unusual events to take place. Now, maybe you think right now we're living that right now. Living in a world where we can...
1,000 years of war.
What's that? Yes, I don't know if it's going to be war. I mean, it's hard to know what's going to happen in the end. There's a lot of discussions. These are areas where I plead complete ignorance. I have no idea what this means. You know, I even rather not know what it means, to be honest with you. It's so many people who discuss so many different things what it might mean. So I'll tell you a little vort. Just get you a vort to explain to you why I feel this way. It was even though I don't usually go off topic like this, but I just willed for the story at this point. We heard that, I don't know if you remember last year, we had Rav David Kaplan come and speak to Yeshiva. He's a big Chicago accent, if you remember it all. He tells a lot of great stories. Anyways, he's maybe this year we'll hear him speak a different time, if you don't remember him. But I one time heard a class from him, and he mentioned that there was this big moment a number of years ago when the internet first started, where there was like an exorcism. I don't know what that means, but there was a person, a woman, I think she lived in Bnei Brak even, who allegedly was possessed by her dead husband's soul, his spirit. And this happened in the past. Our rabbis have described what's called like a shade overtaking a person's body. And this is the time of the Vilna Gaon. They had stories like this. The Chafetz Chaim had stories like this of people who were possessed. If you look at this in the religious world, the Christian world, they talk about something called, you know, possession. A person's body is possessed by his soul, whatever it means. They had, when the internet first came out, like, you know, again, X amount of years ago, whatever it was, 25 years ago when it was first becoming very popular. That's hard to imagine. Only 25 years. What we do before that, who knows? But I lived in those days. So they had this person who was possessed, and they allegedly, I didn't see it, but they televised it over the internet, the exorcism. They released the soul, the spirit that was taking over the lady's body. Anyways, there's this whole to do, and they described what happened, and fine. So this event took place allegedly. So one time, a lady says to Rav Kaplan after his shir, which was on some kashrus discussion. At the end, she asked a question: says, "Do you believe in what happened? This exorcism that was televised? Do you believe it was legitimate or it was a hoax?" Looks at her, he says to her, "He says I couldn't care less. Couldn't care less. It's the biggest deal in the world. What do you mean couldn't care less?" So he says to her, "I believe in God. I believe in God before this thing happened. I believe in God after this thing happened. I'm not going to be a better servant of God whether it happened or not. So what do I care if it happened or not? It doesn't affect me at all." So that attitude, that approach is that we want to serve God's Baruch the best way that we can. Things, these, you know, these sound and light shows, you know, fireworks, moments of like, did that happen or not? What's going to happen at the end of 6,000 years? I have no idea what's going to happen. Am I going to be better at what Hashem for it? Am I going to serve God better because I know what happened? No. Do I know what happened? No. Does anyone know what's going to be? No. I mean, people might have ideas and suggest things, but who really knows what's going to happen? I have no clue. So I prefer to have to be naive and to not have a clue about it. But we were told, Chazal tells us that 6,000 years the world will be, and then the 7,000 years will be whatever chaos this is. What does that mean? I don't know. The odds are we're not going to make it there. You know, it's in the 200 plus years from now. Okay, sorry. My wife's upset with me about it. The odds are, what's that? Mashiach may come, my wife says. We should not say we're not going to be there. Okay. In which case, that will be the end of days anyways. Okay, I apologize. My wife's very upset with me. I think I'm in the doghouse. Okay, gotcha. You give a shmooze on Shabbos. Okay, anyways, back to the Gemara. Thank you. Anyways, we're now back to the discussion about what other things were offered, what other Shira of Levim were said over on different days of different parts of the Korbanos. So, for example, Musvei de Shabsa, right now we are in the last line before the lines get really narrow and then go back to regular size until they get, then you get a little bigger and they get really big. And Daf Aleph and Aleph and Aleph. Right now we're the last line of the small lines before it gets even smaller. That's Gemara. Musvei de Shabsa by Omer. What do they say? Musvei de Shabbos. What did the Levim say? Amarav Anan, Barav, Amarav, Aziv Loch. Now, Aziv Loch, says Rashi, is a mnemonic. It's from Parshas Hazinu. And the letters, Hey, and Zayin, and Yud, and Vav, and Lamed, and Chav, they each refer to one of the psukim leading off a set of parshios in the Song of Hazinu. And again, Rashi tells you what each one of them is. And that's what Haziv Lach, they say that those portions on Musaf Shabbos. There's six different sections that they read from in Hazino. Vamrav Khan and Barav Amarav, Kidar Shachalukin Khan, Kachalukin Beis HaKnesset. Same way they're broken up in the Hey being first part, and the Zion being second part, and the Yud and the Vav and the Lam and the Chaf. That too is how they're broken up in Shul. We lean in Shul seven Aliyahs, a partial Hazino. We break it up the same way. The first pasuk of the first Aliyah is a Hey from Hazinu. Then comes the letter Zion. Again, Rashi over here tells you what each one is. Zion is Zechor Yomos Olam, etc., etc. So we have over here, that's Haziv Lach, is referring to the breakdown of what they would say in the Shabbos, Musaf and Shabbos, that's what Levium would recite. Okay. And that's what we do as well in Shul for Bar Shazinu. How about Mincha Sada Shabbos? What do you say, Mincha Shabbos? My Omrim. What do you say there? It says the Gemara. What you say is, Mayu Omrim, Amar Rav Yochanan, Az Yashir, Umi Kamocha, V'Az Yashir. We say Az Yashir, Umi Kamocha, that comes in Az Yashir, that's that part of the paragraph afterwards. And then Az Yashir, which is not in the Az Yashir of leaving Mitzrayim, not that Az Yashir, but Az Yashir rather of finding a well of water in the Midbar and being able to drink from that water. So that was over here what they would say in the Mincha of Shabbos. Ibailu, the question was asked regarding these last two drushas, regarding Mincha of Shabbos and Musaf of Shabbos. We mentioned that in Musaf they say six psukim, six different paragraphs or different pieces, and on Mincha they say three different pieces. Says the Gemara, "Hani kulu b'chad Shabbos amrlu or dilma called Shabbos of Shabbos to amrichad." Did they say all six parts each Shabbos for Musaf and all three parts each Shabbos at Mincha time, or did they say one piece each week and they would cycle it out and they finish every 6 weeks? They finish going through the cycle of what they say for Musaf. And after every 3 weeks, they would finish what they say for Mincha of those passages. Marsha Tashma, the Tanya Amar Yossi, Acher Rishona Omeris Achas Shnia Uzchozer Shtaim. until the first one, meaning Musaf, has gone through the cycle one time. The second one, meaning Mincha, has gone through it already twice. So we see over here, Shmamina, Kol Shabbos B'Shabbos, Omri Chad, Shmamina. But each Shabbos, they didn't say all six passages of Haziv Lach, and then all three of Az Yashir, Micha Moch, and Az Yashir again. Different Az Yashir, but Az Yashir again. Rather, each week they said one of them, and therefore, by the time it took you to cycle through all six over 6 weeks for Musaf, they would be cycling twice already through the Mincha, and we see over here they said one at a time. Okay. Says the Gemara.
Why don't we say that these days?
Why don't we say the Shir Shalavim? We only do the Shir Shalavim only in the morning. Why don't I do the afternoon? What's a good question? I'm not sure. Good question. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Idi Amar Rav Yochanan. Eser Masaos Nasa Shechina Mikrai Uknegdan Galsa Sanhedrin Migemara. Says Rav Yehuda Bar Idi Amar Rav Yochanan. There are 10 Masaos. There are 10 journeys, unfortunately, that the Shechina traveled away from Klal Yisrael. And we see those from Pesukim. And corresponding to those 10, the Shechina traveled, we have the Sanhedrin itself being exiled to different locations in Eretz Yisrael, which is not from Pesukim, obviously, because it came after the Torah was written. But we have a Masorah, the Gemara. It's a Masorah from us that we had those 10 journeys corresponding of the Sanhedrin. Because we have journeys of us going to exile, deeper and deeper in exile. Because these are all, we're talking about now in the Gemara about things of when Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, the basement was destroyed. You know, what different tatakanas that were made. So over here, we're going to see the journey of the Shechina leaving Klal Yisrael. It's a very sad point. We're going to see now where the Klal Yisrael journey actually carried the Shechina and then where the Sanhedrin went to as well. Esther Masos, Nasa, again, right now, the last of the less thin lines, to get to the really, the medium-sized lines, to get to the widest lines. Esther Masos, Nasa, Shechina, Mikrai, let's see the Pesukim inside in a minute, but we see the Pesukim describe the Shechina going Mikaporis, Lekruv, from the cover of the Kodesh Kodashim. It went from there to the Kruv, which was those Kruvim, the images of the golden Kruvim that were by the Beit Hamikdash area, by the Kodesh Kodashim. Umi Kruv le Kruv, and went from one Kruv to the next Kruv. Umi Kruv le Miftan, and from the Kruv to, again, the Rashi explains here, the Miftan is the Miftan Habayis, which means let's explain as the threshold, whatever that means. But it's like right before the Azar, right before the courtyard outside of the as we're exiting the Beis Hamikdash area. Umiftan the Chatzer, from the Miftan, from the threshold to the courtyard, Michatz Mizbech, from the courtyard to the outer Mizbech of the Beis Hamikdash area, Mizbech Lagag, and then from there to the roof, Migag Lechomer, from the roof to the external walls, Michom Le'ir, from the external walls to the city of Yerushalayim. This is all where the Shechina was traveling, was leaving us point by point. Umi'ir Lahar, and from the city itself to the Har Zaysim area, outside of the old city. Umi'ar L'midbar, and from that Har to the desert. Midbar Al-Sav Yashalim Koma. And finally, when it gets to the desert, it eventually moves from the desert and goes back to Shemayim and sits in its place where it originated from. That's the journey of the Shechina. We're going to see Pesukim inside right now that describe each point part by part. Let's see that inside right now. Says the Gemara. First, as Eshin and Mars, it says, the Eilech Ashuva El Makomi, I will go and return back to my place. That's why we see that it ended off back in Shemayim once again. So let's see now, go through the Pesukim that show us each of these stages. Mikaporos Lekruv, Mikruv Lekruv, Mikruv Lemiftan. Again, it went from the cover of the Aron to the Kruv, and the Kruv to the other Kruv, and then eventually to the we call it the threshold before the Chatzir. That says, Dechsiv No'ati L'chasham V'dibarti Itzcha Me'al Kaporos. Again, that I will meet you over there and speak to you from on top of the Kaporos. That's where it started from, in the Kaporos. And then it says, Siv, where you kav al kruv vayof, that climbed on top of the kruv and flew away. Uchsiv ukvod elokei Yisrael na'aleh me'al kruv asher ya alav el mifsan abayis. It says that again, the kavod Hashem went up from the kruv that it was on, and it left, went to the mifsan abayis, whatever that means, again, to the threshold of the Beis Hamikdash area. Give me 1 second. Mifsan lechatzir. And from the threshold to the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash, the Beis Hamikdash area was filled with a cloud, and the chatzir was filled with the shine and splendor of the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Shechina rested in the chatzir, mechatz the mizbech, and then moved over to the mizbech afterwards. Hashem nitzav al mizbech, I saw Hashem standing on the mizbech. Mizbech legag, went to the roof of the mizbech afterwards, of the Beis Hamikdash area afterwards. Tov Hashem al pinas gag. It's good to sit on the corner of the roof of the gag, migag lechom, and then it moved over to the wall of the Beis Hamikdash area, which is like the kotel area. The chsiv, b'nei Hashem nitzav al chomas anach. Hashem was standing on this chomah, this wall. Mechoma le'ir, from the wall to Yerushalayim. The chsiv, kol Hashem le'ir yikra. Hashem calls out to the city. Hashem is now dwelling in the city. U'mi'ir lahar. And then over there to the har zeisim. The chsiv, ayal kod Hashem ayal tocha ir. That Hashem moved over from the city, and he stood by the mountain that is towards the east of the city. And then went to the midbar afterwards. It says, "It's better to live in the midbar, in the desert area." We midbar also of Yashuv and as we quoted earlier. Now the Gemara over here takes a second, a very powerful idea, something certainly very important for us to understand and realize. Rabbi Yochanan says, the Shekhinah didn't stop, jump place to place, hop away, and then leave us. For 6 months, the Shekhinah waited for us in the Midbar, Shema Yachzer B'tshuva. Maybe we'll turn around. The Shekhinah was waiting for the chance to come back again, not to leave us for good and go back to its place of origination, to the Shemayim. It wanted us to turn around our lives and to do tshuva. But came in Shlo Chazru, but since, in the end, we didn't turn around. We never came back into tshuva. Amar tipach atzman. They should become bloated. They should swell up and suffer. Shemar b'nei rishaim. As it says, b'nei rishaim tichlena ubanos avad minhem v'sikvasam mapach nafesh. Which means again, the eyes of the rishaim tichlena would long desire ubanos avud minhem. Which means an escape was lost from them. B'tikvasami pach nafesh, and their hope would become pach nafesh, which means despair. Therefore, we see over here this idea again that the Shekhinah was hoping and waiting, and in the end, it was left, unfortunately, disappointed and returned back. And then we say, k'negdan, according to those same 10 journeys, we also said, gal sanhedrin migmar. The Sanhedrin also traveled from place to place in from exile to exile, as we see from the Masorah, we have the Gemara. And those places are the files. Mishkas Agazis Lechanus. Umechanus Liushlaim, Yushlaim Liyavna. Now, top of Laman Alpha Bays. Umiyavna Lusha, Miusha Liyavna, Umiyavna Lusha again. Umiusha Lishfar Am, Umishifar Am, Umishfar Am, Lebes Sharim, Bisharim, Lutipori, Lutipori, Lutiveria, Lutiveria, Mukam Mikulan. We see over here the journey continued and continued from place to place to place. And Tveri was the lowest, deepest of them all. Shneimar, it says, "V'shafalt me'eretz tidaberi," that you will sink down, you will get very low, and you'll speak to me from the ground. The Gemara now quotes over here. We have to lose you, but the Gemara quotes right now. Another opinion says it wasn't 10 journeys, but only 6. Lezer Omer. Lezer says sheish galos. And it says Shneimar ki heishach yoshvei marom kirya niskava yashpilena ad eretz yagiena ad afar, which means again, he brought down those who were dwelling on above. In the high cities, he lowered it to the ground, he brought it down to the dust. So over here we have this idea, if you count the amount of times it's lowered and lowered, and down is 6 times. Amar Yochanan, Mishamatin Gael, finally a little comfort, that's where we're going to get one day, we're going to be redeemed from there, as it says, Shneimar, Yisnari Me'afra Kumi Shvi, we'll awaken from the dirt, and we'll get up, and we'll return. We'll stop over here, and Mr. Shem, we'll speak to you guys tomorrow.